So next item.
Okay. The next item is the executive officer's report. I'm going to go back over there. While I'm pulling up my notes again, I'm going to ask John Robertson to help walk you through the supplemental sheets that go with the executive officer's report. Is that okay, John? Because there were a few, a little bit perhaps confusing things, and I want to make sure that you have the information that you're supposed to have. I know we gave it to you, but I want to make sure you track with us.
You have the executive officer's report that is provided to you. I believe the copy that you have says item 13 on it, or maybe it's been scratched out and changed to 14. One of the subsequent supplementals walks you through that, tells you that it's incorrectly labeled as 13. It should have been labeled 14. It's a very short supplement. Right, the correct. The correct date on the executive officer's report should say prepared on January 8th on page one of the executive officer's report.
I think it was, there was copies provided in our blue folders this morning, so.
Okay.
So we have the correct one. It's good. A new document.
Okay, and then thank you, Dr. Hunter. Then additionally, you should probably also in your folder this morning, you should have a one-page supplemental sheet that is for the executive officer's report. Subject is trichloroethylene investigation in the Buckley Road area of San Luis Obispo. You should also have that. Okay, good. That's it.
Okay, I don't really have a presentation. I wanted to make a couple comments about the last section in the blue, not the supplemental, but I wanted to just go through, if it's okay with you, each section by heading and see if you have questions instead of taking all of them on different topics at the end, starting with water quality certifications. No comments, no questions. The Central Coast Low Impact Development Initiative annual report. Essentially, this item was just to let you know it's available and you're welcome to review it. And comments or questions? Okay. Then we get to the drought activity section, which includes the response to the points to address we were speaking of earlier, relative to the Los Osos Basin Management Plan and its implementation by the Basin Management Committee. And I just wanted to say, I want to make sure you see, there are 5 points that we rewrote it directly, verbatim, into the staff report in that section, and then developed responses to them. And generally, as you can see, they also indicate that we are either doing some of the things that were asked for in part, and I'm speaking of related to stormwater capture, I'm speaking of related to coordinating with state board and sort of tracking the progress of the plan's implementation. And other than that, in general, we have limited authority, and I actually asked state board staff to help respond to those questions to make sure that it was accurate in terms of that description of that it's really the state board staff and the groundwater division that are implementing the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, and that's where the work to figure out the criteria by which a basin management plan is working or not working, and as well intervene if indicates that they're not. And since there aren't very many approved yet because the regulations that will say what should be in them aren't even out yet, there aren't, we still don't really know what that's going to look like or how that's going to go, but we have a few examples to cut our respective teeth on that State Board is working on that are considered adjudicated basins or in fact adjudicated by the court, and Los Osos Basin is one of those. State Board staff, this is a tangent, but I just learned this after I gave you the staff report. State Board staff is kind of happy that they have these pilot projects, if you will, in our region and a couple other spots in the state to sort of learn how this goes and how we engage together and with the local agencies. But they do emphasize that they want the local agencies to be responsible to play these plans out for a while and see what happens. Yeah.
May I comment on the stormwater question? I see that in your response, you note that the county is currently working on a plan, and that was the question that I had. If we can continue to update what we know we would like to see taking place relative to Los Osos within the county's stormwater authority, that we look at that when we have the opportunity, when that plan comes forward, as they develop these specific programs, including, for example, the county is going to delineate small, roughly 100-acre catchments. Those kinds of opportunities, I don't know if they're how they relate to the wastewater treatment design and overall system, but if we can, when those come forward and you have an opportunity to keep us informed, I think that would also help us be looking at, as we said earlier, opportunities to maximize these discussions, the review, the technical conditions, and also looking at it from an ecosystem basis. You know, the western edge of that basin versus the eastern edge of the basin, the kinds of things that are being designed hydrologically, we can comment on those if we feel that the county has missed an opportunity and we can help steer the process. They are working with us collaboratively, and I think we want to be sure we stay active in that. So that would be my one comment on the responses provided. And thanks to staff for putting those responses together. And I do recognize, and I hope it's coming across to the community, that, you know, SGMA has changed much of what we originally were thinking and exploring and, you know, attempting to develop some path, you know, and we had State Board engaging with us in that process of exploring what could we do. I know when Mr. Young was chair, on several occasions we spoke directly with folks in Sacramento, and you know, they were responsive, but again, we, you know, the constraints are the constraints. So, but I think working with the county might be something we haven't maybe been able to do, given the priority of getting that wastewater treatment up and operating. So we're very close to that, I can tell you, because the hookups are being scheduled, you know, now. So, that's where I would look to, and I hope we hear more from the staff about that.
Mike?
I have a question related to the second of the 6 points on Los Osos. Should I hold it until you're done with that, or you want me to hit you now? Okay, on the top, the first paragraph on page 5, and this might be a typo, it says, recycled water policy anticipates stakeholder groups will complete salt and nutrient management plans by 2014.
That's the date that was established that's the date that was established in the policy, which was adopted 10, 11? I don't remember.
Many years before that.
Oh, many years before that.
2011, maybe.
I'll let Harvey Packard answer. He's more familiar with the policy and the dates than I am.
That's not a typo. So that's the date by which all basins were to have this policy or this plan adopted. And as it states here, or maybe it doesn't, in a lot of places we don't have that. But, Los Osos, the basin plan that they came up with, in a sense, does some of it, but it's not all there. So with their SGMA planning, they're going to need to do that part of it as well all the basins in the region.
So then for the basins that don't have a completed salt and nutrient management plan, that's essentially being kicked down the road into the SGMA process, and it's going to be folded into the groundwater sustainability plan. Is that correct?
We'd like to push them in that direction. We think it makes sense to do it that way, yeah.
But what I'm hearing is that for this basin or other basins that still have not completed that we're not in a position to say you have to finish it now?
It's complicated because we're not in a position to say they have to do it anywhere because the policy doesn't say that.
I'd like to clarify something. I think we're talking about this out of context. If you read the page before at the bottom, what this says is that our permit for the wastewater treatment plant requires them to participate in salt and nutrient management planning.
Okay.
That other paragraph is just telling you or reminding all of us that that policy that we're implementing with our permit was supposed to have happened a long time ago, but better late than never.
So that's a county process. The county is required to work on the plan and to work on it in a basin-wide stakeholder group, and we're essentially providing guidance during that, but not necessarily direction. Is that correct? So that's an ongoing effort that we're going to be doing. Is that correct?
Right, but it's still outstanding. It needs to be done.
Okay. And that ball is in the county's court to pull that process together?
I'd put it more in the court of the ISJ group.
Okay.
Or whoever is made responsible for complying with the SGMA requirements.
So is the discharger the ISJ group, or is the discharger the county?
Discharger is the county alone.
Okay, so I see. So it says that they'll participate in the group.
Right.
But it doesn't make them responsible for pulling it together?
In a way, right. Yeah. We asked all of our dischargers to be involved in those groups, but we can't force any single entity to be responsible for the whole thing.
Okay. So the county's required to participate in it. We can provide guidance to stakeholders in it, but the ISJ, which is potentially responsible for pulling it together, we don't really have a way to push that to happen, and we're pushing that stuff to be folded into the groundwater sustainability plan process. Is that right? In general?
Yeah, I think that's a good description.
Thank you.
Lisa? Go ahead.
Are there other questions or comments about this section?
Yeah, actually, I wanted to follow up on that a little bit because it's not a SGMA mandate for salt nutrient. I mean, certainly the water basin needs to be in balance, but it really doesn't speak to salt and nutrients. So how is that getting forced into the SGMA GSP, GSA realm? Do you know?
Yeah. Whether it can be forced is a good question. Yeah. Encouraged? I mean, the whole salt nutrient management plan, there's no requirement anywhere. It's always been an encouragement.
Right. However, I'm pretty sure, I'll have to look it up, I think that the legislation itself says that to be a sustainable basin and a requirement of the plans is that implementing them will not affect water quality detrimentally as well. So if it's already degraded, but as far as a management plan that might address water quality, that's our hope. But
thank you.
Okay. all I have to comment on or to talk about in terms of it. Oh, we have the supplemental, sorry.
Last item is the supplemental associated with the Buckley Road trichloroethylene discovery. I'll call your attention to it, and hopefully you've all had a chance to read it. A couple of updates since we wrote this a couple of days ago. This is a fast-moving project, so whatever we put on paper is out of date about the time we print it. We have now sampled 59 wells. We're awaiting 3 more well analytical results in the community. Today, during this meeting, we published the notice. I reviewed it over there while I was sitting. Published the notice for the public meeting that will be a week from today, actually tonight, in this room. The unique thing is we empowered the community to choose when they had their meeting, what time and what day, give them a little power back. And that's it, unless you have questions. Staff is doing a great job, and we're really pushing outreach into the community, you know, walking and talking to people in the community.
No question. And I do have 2 speaker cards for item 14, so perhaps this would be the time to ask Mr. Weimer and Mr. McGibney to come here. I've agreed to give you combined 8 minutes, so I'll let you elbow each other to see who's gonna, well, you know, you could do 4-4, but.
Thank you.
Eight minutes.
Patrick McGibney. I'm going to go off script here for just a second because I think the conversation you've been having has been very, very interesting. I'm disheartened, of course, to see that you have very little authority and that also you have even less budget resources to really do anything. I am heartened, though, to see that you're taking seawater intrusion really seriously, and it is a really big issue. That is the main issue that we have been trying to stress to your water board, the county, and all the other parties to take seriously also. I'm a little confused, though, about some of your comments regarding SGMA. I was here last year, I think it was, when Sacramento came in and explained what SGMA was, and correct me if I'm wrong, but SGMA only affects basins that are not have not been adjudicated. Our basin has been adjudicated. So until it is proven to be a failed basin plan, SGMA doesn't have any authority to really do anything, and maybe when it's been proven to be a failed basin plan, it's going to be too late at that point. We have been offering suggestions that could strengthen the basin plan. The only reason that we are in the trouble that we're in now is because of 40 years of overdraft that have not been regulated. That's basically been due to overpopulation at this point. We have overbuilt the resource that we have. As it was pointed out by staff members, seawater intrusion is really hard to stop or to reverse, and one of the main things is you have to put a wedge of fresh water in front of it. Conservation is one of the biggest ways to do that at this point for us. If we're conserving, we're not extracting as much water as we are as a habit because we are using our gray water or other waters for those purposes. We have been given $5 million for conservation programs for indoor water use. $3.4 million of that was a grant that we should be using. We've only used $1.3 million for conservation, and the county is telling us that that program is over. Why can we not conserve the very most we can and maximize our conservation to help save our basin? So I just wanted to point those things out. Well, okay, and so the other thing is that you don't have a lot of authority, but what you can do, which is cost-effective, is recommendations, and to me, writing letters to the different agencies or the parties suggesting what they can do as the water board. And those are really, really helpful. People will listen to you, you know. So I just wanted to thank you, though, for asking staff to address the questions that we did present. They're really important, and number 4 that we were talking about, you approved, and it's the parties to make improvements in the basin plan agreement. and to continue to review and track the implementation process, and that you'll recommend improvements if progress towards sustainable groundwater management is inadequate. We'd like to request that you update the basin plan implementation progress in the agenda of your next meeting in San Luis Obispo, which will be in July, and that you schedule the item as an action item in order to make recommendations to the parties at the time regarding improvements you feel that are needed. In the meantime, the community is going to be attending the basin management plans meetings, and that we will try to make effective recommendations that would help restore the water source to a healthy state as soon as possible with this. I'd like to also point out that when we're talking about the recycled water that we have, and that a lot of the water that we have now, 20%, is going to dry land farming, that is not a beneficial use, and that is what we need to be doing with our recycled water that we have. Mr. Weimer will address the other issues that we're talking about, and I just wanted to thank you for your attention to this.
Keith Weimer, and with the Sierra Club. I'm just going to cover a little bit of what I was talking about before, and that is how some of these specific programs could help. And I did want to point out that since it is an adjudicated basin, there is specific language in the stipulated judgment that allows you to do what you do, implement the programs. It says, nothing in the basin plan shall be interpreted as relieving any party of its responsibilities to comply with state or federal laws for the protection of water quality, or the provisions of any permits, standards, requirements, or orders promulgated thereunder. So it's carved out right there in the stipulated judgment for this adjudicated basin that you have all the authority that you would have had. Just real briefly on what you just talked about, which is what you can, let's see, what was it? You were talking about authority with the waste discharge requirement, and I'm sorry, I've been sitting here for a long time. I'm sort of, I'll just go down my list here, and then I'm sure it'll come to me. First, we are glad to hear that you could put into effect a water quality objective, and whether or not you think it would be enforceable, it still sets a goal, and it sets an objective for the entire basin, and you know, salts are salts, so that's an important thing. We also request that you implement the salt and nutrient management plan and the local agency management plan, or the septic system management plan. The salt and nutrient management plan is required as part of the waste discharge requirement. So the county's agreed to it. It's just a matter of implementing it. Obviously, that salt and nutrient management plan is very important in terms of making sure that it's a really viable desirable alternative for people to use that recycled water. So. Obviously, any discharges, you know, from water softeners or anything else should be part of that program. But another big part of that program is LID, because LID will dilute the salts in the groundwater. And then, of course, when it's pumped out, then and you add salts from the domestic use, and it goes into your recycle program, you have a better quality recycled water. So anywhere you can limit the salts going into the ground or anywhere else, it's going to help that recycled water program. The local agency or the septic system management plan is important, of course. I mean, we still have 10 to 15% of the septic systems out there that are contributing nitrates to the groundwater. You might not realize it, but the same study that showed that justifies the the wastewater project. It shows how much nitrates will be reduced. Also shows that some of the highest concentrations of nitrates are from users in larger with larger lots, and especially horse ranches. So that's an important one.
You need to wrap up.
Okay.
Thank you.
I wanted to focus real quickly on the, I think they should be back up there, that 25 acre feet of water that's now being pumped to the estuary. And that's a really, you know, that's a big waste of water. In fact, 25 acre feet, that's the estimate, but it's only during the drought years. There's only one wet year in that period of time when they estimated that. So we could be talking about 50 acre feet, and 50 acre feet, of course, is a lot of water. If you picture 1 acre with 50 feet of water, that's a lot of water. And there, you know, is great concern about seeps to the estuary and bacteria going into the estuary, you know, for so many years, and yet we're going to put water right into the estuary. The other
you really need to wrap up. We gave you a
we
lot.
That
no, we you know we gave you opportunity at public comment.
No,
we
I understand. Okay. I understand.
All right.
I didn't know that we had used that much time. Anyway, so we would like just to ask grant funding, you know, for that, and that you support grant funding for LID programs that, and you know, for stopping that pollution of the water there. Thank
you. Thank you very much. So I do not have any additional speaker card. Do you have anything to add?
I do not.
All right. Any more questions from my colleagues here? I see no. So this Regional Water Quality Control Board meeting of Thursday, January 28th is adjourned. It is 10 past 5 p.m. So thank you very much, everyone.